In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Most of us have probably participated in a surprise party for someone. And you probably know the excitement and the anticipation that usually come with such an event. Everyone gathers at a certain place to wait for the arrival of the guest of honor. Family and friends stand quietly near the door. Some persistently keep peeking out the window, just ready to pass the word, "He's here." A certain tension fills the air, and all attention is focused on the moment of arrival. This same type of anticipation is what the gospel reading from Mark chapter 13 speaks about concerning the arrival of Jesus. God's word reveals that at the second coming of Jesus, all of his promises to his people will be made complete. The celebration will begin. God will usher in the eternal state, the unending feast in celebration of his tremendous love for all of us. Therefore, as his redeemed people, we are called to anticipate Christ's coming and watch for his arrival, for it could be at any moment. Throughout history, there has always been predictions of Jesus' return or the end of the world. Apparently, many forget the Lord's words from today, but concerning that day or that hour, no one knows. Jesus tells us about the signs of the end, like we talked last Sunday as well, but not so that we can calculate the exact day or even the month or the year of his coming. He informs us about the signs to keep us from being spiritually lethargic and lazy. When we see a false teacher or a false religion to arise, or an earthquake take place, or a war, or a famine, Jesus is saying, "Wake up, repent. I'm about to bring all my words to fulfillment. Get yourself ready for my coming." So let us be warned against those who might lead us astray, those who make predictions about the end of time beyond what the Bible says. Of that day, only God knows. The Lord tells his disciples, "Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come." All too often, we completely forget about Christ's second coming, even with signs of it all around us. We are too caught up in our day-to-day lives. Tell me, how often do you think of Jesus' return? Back when I was in seminary, I would occasionally think of it right before a big test that I wasn't ready for. "Lord, now would be a great time to come back." Usually, though, too many days go by when we don't even give a thought. I'm convinced that our perspective on life would be drastically changed if the prospect of Christ's imminent return was constantly at the front of our minds. Perhaps you are tempted to say with the scoffers that St. Peter quotes in his second letter, "Where is the promise of his coming? All things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. Perhaps we are tempted to think, maybe all this stuff about Jesus' return is just a myth and a fairy tale. But Peter reminds us that God is not slow in keeping his promise, and he certainly has not forgotten it. Peter specifically says in his second epistle, "With the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. The scriptures are quite clear on that, reaffirming what Jesus said in Mark 13 today. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. While it's true that we are to watch for the time of Christ's return, it's not necessarily true that his second coming is something everyone is looking for. After all, coming face to face with the holy and almighty God is not something many people eagerly desire, because we know too well that we have fallen short of what he wants of us, not only in the present, but also in the past. Time may heal all wounds, but time does not erase sin. The sins of years ago are no less condemning because some time has now passed. We may drag some burdens on longer chains, others on shorter chains, but in any event, we cannot look forward to the future, to Christ and to Christ's second coming, when past or present sins still pull us down. The phrase second coming implies that this will not be the first time that Christ has come to this earth. What makes Christ's second event a joyous time for us is what happened at the first coming. Galatians 4:4-5 says, But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. The first time that Christ came, he wrapped himself in those chains that enslaved us. Then he broke them for us. He paid the price for humanity's fall into sin so that we could stand before him without blemish and ready for his second coming. The eternal Son of God, Jesus Christ, entered into human history and became a helpless infant. He grew up and lived a sinless life to fulfill the law for us. And he did all of this in order to rescue you and me from the eternal judgment. In John 17, Jesus prayed this, "Father, the hour has come." The hour Jesus referred to in John 17 was the time he was about to spend on the cross. Because he suffered and died in our place, we will not receive the judgment we deserve as his second coming. Our judgment day, in a sense of punishment for our sins, already took place at the cross. Our condemnation was experienced by Christ at Calvary. Therefore, God's anger has been appeased. In Christ, we have nothing to fear about the last day. Trusting that Jesus has done all this for us, we will spend eternity in the new creation with him. It's only when we consider both Christ's first and second coming together that the good news of the gospel reading for today becomes fully clear to us. At his first coming, Jesus put us right with God. And at his second coming, all that Christ accomplished at his first coming will reach its final culmination. Both advents together make our salvation complete and sure. So, what do we do between now and Christ's second coming? God calls for two closely related responses. The first response is that he asks you to receive the time he has given you as a precious gift, using it wisely in faith toward him and in service toward others. Knowing that Christ may return at any time, give us perspective in life, an end for us to work with whatever time he may give. Think of some important event in your life. Maybe a marriage, a graduation, the birth of a child. Then think about the time immediately before that event. And how was that time before was spent in focused preparation? Our awareness of Christ's second coming does the same thing. Christ gives us a positive end to anticipate, a goal to define for us the value of time and the true explanation of life, what life is all about. Living the life God has given to us in Christ, we use whatever time he has given us to glorify him with our lives, to love our neighbor, and to carry out his mission. Whether it's service in some capacity here at this congregation, at your job, with your family, or someone else, God calls you to use the time he has given you wisely and faithfully. The second response God calls is to watch for the time of his return. Jesus even gives an illustration in our reading today. He says that the time of his return will be like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Our master has gone away, ready to return at any time. But he has entrusted his important work to us, each with an assigned task. As good stewards of our time, we live and work and witness, knowing that he will be coming soon. In his grace, he equips us to be faithful servants. The signs of the end have been fulfilled. Christ's coming may be today or may be 100 years from now. Our task is to stay awake. Of course, not in the literal sense, meaning that we should never sleep. I like and I need my sleep. But in a sense of remaining alert or watching for it, keeping it at the front of our minds, letting it guide the way we use the time we have been given by him. And one of the primary ways we do that is by participating regularly in Holy Communion. For here, in the Lord's Supper, the future blessings that will be ours by sight on the last day, they are granted to us by faith in the present. Eternal life, forgiveness, and salvation are truly given to us with the very body and blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus comes to us right now in the sacrament, even as he will come again at the end of time in a revealed way with great power and glory. As in a surprise party, when guests persistently keep peeking out the window, ready to pass the word, "He is here," God desires of us the same persistence and single-mindedness when it comes to watching for Christ's return. Whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or in the morning, Christ will come. Washed with his mercy and forgiveness in baptism and reassured by his word, we are constantly vigilant for that glorious day when he appears. Then sin, death, and the devil will be banished from our lives forever. What we know by faith will be confirmed with sight. Time will be brought to its fulfillment, and the joys of the new heavens and the new earth will be ours eternally. We will celebrate the unending feast we anticipate every time we partake of the Lord's Supper. As Scripture says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. What I say to you, I say to all. Stay awake. Stay awake. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.